Good evening and welcome to the January 26th meeting of the Town of Curry Beach Town Council. At this time, would you please bow for the invocation and then we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance and wisdom today, Lord. May clear minds, good judgment, and a deep commitment to serving our community mark this meeting. Help us to make decisions that benefit all. Amen. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know David and Connie will agree, but we welcome Mark and Byron to our meeting tonight. It's our first full meeting as commissioners, so welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. You behave.
First item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the consent agenda. There are a couple things on there. If you don't have any questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Adoption of the agenda. Unless you see anything that needs to be pulled or anything that needs there, guys, I'll accept a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion that we accept the agenda as it is set forth.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, Beth, we don't have anybody signed up for public comment tonight?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. We have another presentation, so on to committee business. Bike Ped Advisory. Mo, you have anything?
Honorable members and commissioners, it has been brought to our attention that unsafe juvenile behavior involving bicycles, e-bikes, and motorized vehicles is increasing, not just locally, but across our island, our county, our state, and our country. Reckless operation on public streets is creating real and immediate risks. For example, juveniles riding at high speeds and performing wheelies on public roads like Settlers Lane have nearly caused collisions and with pedestrians and vehicles, often with no regard for stop signs or traffic laws. Our focus is behavior, not the type of vehicle. A class 1 or class 2 e-bike is limited to 750 watts at a maximum speed of 20 miles per hour, after which the motor disengages. If a vehicle exceeds those limits, it has likely been modified and is no longer legally considered an e-bike, it falls into the category of an electric motorcycle. That distinction matters, which is why enforcement must focus on how vehicles are used and not really what they are usually called. But the solution is clear: education. We must educate both juveniles and parents about safe, responsible, and lawful operation before serious injuries occur. We would like to thank Chief Bailey and the Curry Beach Police Department for proactively addressing this issue through public outreach on Facebook and on the front page of the Pleasure Island News. Chief Bailey gave some parent tips. No pedals means it's a moped or a motorcycle. Check your child's bike motor wattage and top speed. 750 is the top wattage. Top speed for a class 1 or class 2 e-bikes is 20 miles an hour, and then it disengages. Require helmets for every ride. Under 16, every child must wear a bike helmet. Talk with your kids about the rules of the road. Your child's safety and your family's responsibility start with knowing the law. Thank you, Chief Bailey. And we also want to thank Jimmy and Public Works, because I just got the news that one of our signs at the connector was just installed, and I'm anxious to get over there tomorrow to check it out. Any questions?
No, we do thank you, Chief, and the committee for putting together that Facebook post. And I hope it will help educate people. We are working with our local and state legislators, and they're working on. I think Senator Lee has actually introduced some legislation that has not been enacted on, but trying to stiffen up the laws. So thank you, Chief.
Chief, if you radar one going more than 20, is that a ticket if they're not licensed because it's an electric motorcycle?
Part of the problem is most of them are juveniles, and several years ago, North Carolina had something called Raise the Age, which means they kind of limited what we can do with juveniles in terms of criminal charges or infractions or anything like that. Best we can do is try to determine who the parents are and go speak with the parents. Carolina Beach is having the same issue. They even resorted to seizing some e-bikes, but that didn't go over real well with the community.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Any other questions? Okay. Community Center Committee. Nobody here? I think we had a great open house. I'm sorry I couldn't be there that night, but it sounds like we had a good turnout, and appreciate what the committee's doing to make the community center a better place and to be more active. Nikki, do you hear how many they have for their ping pong tournament? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. All right, next, Marketing Committee.
Yes, just a couple of things. With my departure from that committee, there were applications submitted, interviews were held, and Steve Stefanovich will be taking over as the chair of that committee.
Okay.
And I would like to make a motion to appoint Laura Holman-Byrne to that committee to fill the vacancy.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion, questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, great. Motion passes. Thank you. That all? That's all, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Planning and Zoning Commission. Tonight, folks, we have three full members to appoint and one alternate member. As you can see by your agenda, we have eight people who have applied. And we will conduct interviews, ask you a few questions, and comments. We know some of you, some of you are serving already, but by our bylaws, everybody, the ones that were terms were ended, had to reapply. So we'll start first with Mr. Joe Barlock. If you would please come. I'm sorry, folks, there wasn't but one way to do this, and that's alphabetical order.
Huh? And Mayor, may I add a little
color? Yeah, go ahead.
So having been on Planning and Zoning and just recently resigning that position to join council, we discovered over a period of time that there actually were some term limits, both for Planning and Zoning as well as Historic Preservation Commission. These are both commissions as opposed to committees. Every town needs to have a Planning and Zoning Commission. Historic preservation is something that is required once you apply and get approved to have a historic preservation district. The reality is why we have four openings is because of this discovery that there were term limits. And that doesn't, it's not, term limits may not be the best way to describe it. As Mayor pointed out, it's a reapplication process. But there's a discrepancy of 5 years for one, 3 years for the other, so we moved it to four, which has caused this abundance of members. This typically would never happen, in other words. But we have four openings on Planning and Zoning out of six. There's five full-time positions and an alternate. And so many of the applicants tonight, or at least quite a few, will be people that have been on Planning and Zoning or Historic Preservation. And are reapplying, and then we have a number of new applicants as well. But it's just an unusual situation. We would never typically have this many openings at one time.
Thank you, Byron. Like you said, term limits is a bad choice of word, because that term means, when you say that, it means you have to leave the commission. You just have to reapply. So it's a reapplication process. First of all, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
My name is Joe Barlock. I live at 314 H Avenue, Perry Beach.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you very much for this opportunity. I have been serving on the Planning and Zoning Board for the last 4 years. I guess I'm going to speak about both together.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm also on the Historic Preservation for the last 4 years, serving as Vice Chair for 2 years out of those. I think these are important boards, first with the Planning and Zoning, because the planning regulations in Chapter 15 is really what we regulate. We get involved with the other chapters, but 15 is ours. And recently, I was involved in basically rewriting the entire Cary Beach Code from a syntactical point of view, which is mainly editorial. But I am very familiar with the code, Chapter 15 being that for planning and zoning. The main difference between the planning and zoning and historic preservation is historic preservation also deals with the quasi-judicial process, which I am familiar with and have participated in. So other than that, I mean, I'm an engineer by trade. My history before coming to Cary Beach was with the utility. I was a project manager there. And I'm technically oriented, and I enjoy doing both positions. Any questions?
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I was on the Planning and Zoning Board when you started Chapter 15 doing the modification, the syntactical, the improvements that you did. It was very, very detailed. And thank you. I wanted to say thank you for doing that. But now that you've completed that, if you are elected again, what's your goal now?
Well, now that you've
completed that task, what's next? What would you do?
Chapter 13 and 14 are yet to come.
Oh.
13 will be on the next planning and zoning agenda, and I'm working on 14 now. After that's completed, slap me for this, but I'm going to start all over and go through them again, because as we proceeded through the chapters, we learned different things, and there are still some slight inconsistencies. Changes won't be like they were the first round, but we just want to make it as close to perfect as we can. So that's going to be my next task.
Okay.
Firstly, now that actually is not a function of planning and zoning. It's a task that we took on at the request of the mayor, because planning and zoning, as I say, follows Chapter 15 basically, but we do whatever you want.
And there are, as you said, though, there's a lot of bleed over in some of the other chapters into what would be considered zoning. Again, from a historical standpoint, again, having been chairman of planning and zoning, the work that Vice Chair Barlock did over the last couple of years has been incredible. And again, it's been, as he just pointed out, it was outside of the box of typically what planning and zoning would be thought of. Chapter 15 is the focus. But if you go through other chapters, you know, and it wasn't all syntactical. I mean, there were some things that were discovered along the way that were almost humorous, because you're dealing with code that is 20 plus years old. And as you can expect, there are some things that come out that it's like, how in the world is that still in our code? And so all of that has been cleaned up as well. And again, thank you for that work.
I got
one question.
Go ahead.
Just a quick question. You've been on this committee or this commission for a long time, seen a lot. I'm just curious, what are you most proud of that you've accomplished with this group, or something surprising that you found that you found was interesting that you helped address?
Well, definitely working on the code, but I don't want to beat that to death. But the when I first started on planning and zoning, I was part of a subcommittee where we were speaking with Duke Energy about the possibilities of putting our lines underground. And what would that take? What would we get from that? What would we lose? So I think out of all the things that I've done on planning and zoning, that's one of the things that hit me closest to home. I thought was very relevant. Unfortunately, too costly, so it was dropped. But that was one of the biggest things that I worked on.
Okay, thank you.
Doug,
I'm good.
You do things other than planning and zoning and doing our code, so tell us about a little bit about what you and your wife do and the other activities you have in the community.
Well, the most important thing is my wife, Debbie, and she is part of Beaches and Boots line dancing. We get all involved with the line dance. But I'm also part of the Garamond Life Bay Club. I'm part of Island Man, the American Legion. I am the adjutant for the Sals, which is the Sons of the Legion. adjutanting, kind of like the secretary and the membership person. So I'm going to throw the item.
Any other questions?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right, Tom Corcoran. Am I saying it right, Tom? I'm sorry.
You said that perfectly.
Golly, how'd I do that? Go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself and your address and everything.
Thank you. My name is Tom Corcoran, 8-year resident of Curry Beach. My wife and I live at 508 Seahorse Place, and just love to hear. I have not been involved in the town, and when I saw the opportunity to apply to the commission, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to use my 40 years of experience in the chemical industry, both here in the United States as well as globally, and really feel like that experience brings a lot of benefits to the role as I read it for this commission. Retired, as I said, my wife and I are involved with our church here in Curry Beach Memorial. One of the things that we really enjoy about that church is the food pantry. And, you know, I think people from the outside don't think that there's food insecurity on this island, and there is. And it's amazing how often our little pantry box is used, and my wife and I are actively involved in making sure that not only filling the box, but that the program is sustained by real substantial donations.
Questions?
I do. That's okay. So for everyone, can I go first?
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
Thank you for having so many. So when there's that many people, if I don't know, you have to ask a bunch of questions, right?
Yes.
So Joe got off easy, I guess, right? And for everyone else, my questions are probably all going to be the same. But can you start off by telling me what you think the purpose of planning and zoning is and the committee?
Yeah, I think as I view it, there is a master plan for this island that has very specific requirements in regards to the land use and the development of that land use. Also complicated, I guess, from my perspective and maybe yours, is the federal aspect of some of that land use as well. And I see this commission responsible for making sure that we're making recommendations to the council in regards to proposals for land use within our community.
Okay.
To keep the community, you know, obviously in a low density situation, but environmentally safe, the wetlands are safe, the relationship with the federal government is maintained in a proper way. And so I think it's the responsibility of the commission to gather that information, assess it against the codes, and then come and make recommendations to the mayor and the commissioners in regards to what we believe you ought to do.
Okay. Can you tell me what your position is on variances from the code?
I bring a little bit of experience in variance management. I'm currently president of our HOA here on the island, and so we get a lot of requests for variances against our codes. I think that one, primarily I'm a rule follower, so I like to go back to what does the code call for, and if people are looking for a variance, I think every resident or person doing business on the island deserves to be heard. Why they feel like they deserve a variance against the code. But again, I think that there, in my opinion, there's a pretty strict line that needs to be followed.
Okay, excellent. Can you tell me how familiar you are with the Curry Beach Code, just in general? Have you even looked at it?
I have looked at it.
Okay.
I think the prior applicant, it was interesting to hear his perspective, because when you read the code, there's a lot of interesting things in that code that you wouldn't expect unless you know the history of not only Curry Beach, but also Carolina Beach. So only in preparation for tonight and reading through the code, seeing how the codes are broken out, but in-depth understanding of it, I do not.
No, that's fine. Okay. And then, because like I said, we have to pick...
Sure.
Only half of you guys, so, okay.
The website helps. I mean, the website's very detailed.
And then the last one, can you tell me, just as an estimate, how many either P&Z meetings or council meetings you've been to in the last 2 years?
None.
Okay, cool. Okay, thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to know, you said that you spent 40 years in the chemical industry. Were you finance, engineer? What was your background?
General management at the end of my career, but I'm actually an accountant by trade, but did mostly sales and marketing work throughout the United States. We've lived all over, and then also over in Germany.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Byron, any questions?
Yeah, good. Come on,
good.
Questions. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot, Tom. Appreciate it. Mr. Galbraith. And name and address and a little bit about yourself, like we don't know who you are.
Well, thank you for having me here. My name is Craig Galbraith. I live at 803 Boca Court here in Curie Beach. A little bit about my background. We were trying to figure this out. I've probably been involved with, I think, Planning and Zoning Commission now for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting process. I think probably for about 80% of the time I've been the chairperson. I've also been the chairperson of the land use, the recent land use plan, as well as the chairperson ever since it was formed for the Historic Preservation Commission. I'm currently the Duke Progress Energy Distinguished Professor of Economics and Management at the Cameron School of Business. My consulting is I do a lot of work with the Department of Defense, particularly the Department of Navy and Technology Transfer Agencies. So I work with them on a regular basis. So I'm not retired. I'm still pretty active, to say the least, but unfortunately, my position does allow for a lot of flexibility to be able to attend meetings and that sort of thing. In terms of kind of my involvement with the town, again, I probably joined, we were trying to figure it out, the early 2002 period. I've lived in Curie Beach now for 31 years, since 1995. I've always been absolutely committed to the idea of planning and zoning. I was a planning commissioner when I first started my professional career for the city of Irvine in California, then at Mission Viejo, as well as city council member. Then when I moved to Indiana for a couple years, I was involved in military-based reuse type of programs. And then, of course, when I came here, I've now been involved with planning and zoning here in Curie Beach. I'm a firm believer that you can look at what impacts you on many different levels, but I know when I walk out my door and walk around my community and I go to restaurants and I go to the local community, it's really the local and what we do at the local level that really impacts what we believe about the community, how we feel about the community, and so forth. I think when I first joined the commission, there were a lot of, I would say, holes in the code that we looked at, and so over the time that I've been involved with as a chair, we've written everything from probably two revisions related to the actual code, as well as going through the syntactic type of issues right now. We've put in lighting things. We've talked about two overlay districts. Just a number of things. And at this point, I think we're in pretty good shape, quite frankly. I kind of backed down as being chair about a year and a half ago because I thought it'd be appropriate that somebody else kind of take over that position. So what I did is I kind of took over the idea that, well, what can we look at in our code right now that might be changing because of new technology, things that are changing in Curie Beach. And at the very end of the day, I think we have a darn good set of codes for this community. And so it's really a matter of maintaining, I think, what we have, as well as being aware of the planning side and anticipating maybe future problems. So that's a quick background in terms of how I look at things. Okay. And I do believe there's a very strong relationship between planning and how people feel about their community, about economic development. And also there's a fair amount of research to show that good planning will also reduce crime, because people tend not to want to do crime in attractive areas. So, I'm a firm believer in local planning.
Right. Questions?
Just two, since the other two answered during the presentation. Your position on variances, which you've told me many times, so for all of council.
Sure. We don't allow variances really in here. I mean, variances in some cities or some communities are individual type of things where you might provide an individual variance. I think the path that we've taken here, which I think is the correct path, is understanding that if you have somebody comes in with something, it's a change in the code and that affects everybody. You have to look at that as impact. If you can change it for one person, it really has to be change for everybody. And so when you look at a variance, you really look at changing the code and how that would affect all of Curie Beach.
Okay.
And so we look at it very, very carefully.
And then attendance at council or P&Z committee meetings in the last 2 years, your estimate? Didn't that be 100% accurate? How many did they have, right?
Well, I don't think I've missed a single planning commission meeting. And when I was chair, I attended every council meeting. You know, since I haven't been chair, maybe one or two.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I
have. Only have. Byron, you are.
And then could you just like elaborate on your 20 plus years of track record and how valuable that is to the commission?
I really think it's a different Curie Beach now. We had a really good foundation when I came on 20 and some odd years ago. But I think there were a number of things that we had to look at. Because again, planning and zoning, there's really two components. There's the zoning component, which ends up in terms of the code, chapter 15 and so forth. But planning means you look ahead and you anticipate problems that might be occurring in the future. And I think that's, if anything, I think I've contributed has been on the planning side of things, where we look at things that could possibly negatively impact the community or things that we could do better and try to work in that area.
Thank you.
Mark, Connie, any questions?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it, sir. Mr. Ed Hall. A little bit about yourself and where you live.
Sure. Ed Hall, my wife Angela and I live at 506 Curie Village Way. We've had a house on Curie Village Way since 2019. I'm currently on the Historic Preservation Commission. I attend all of the Curie Beach planning and zoning meetings. I attend all the Curie Beach town council meetings. I attend, you may not appreciate, I attend all the mayor coffees.
Coffee with the mayor is 2 hours. He makes up an hour and a half of it, okay? No, just joking, Ed, just joking.
I'm familiar with the quasi-judicial procedure and in fact have my handbook with me here tonight. And actually sat through all of Joe's meetings with the famous Chapter 15. I currently am the Vice President and Treasurer of the Curie Estates HOA. Also, just for my learning process, I attend all of the Carolina Beach planning and zoning meetings and attend all the Carolina Beach Town Council meetings. Before retirement 2 years ago, I was running a business unit at Food Line that did about $1 billion in sales every year, so fairly significant business acumen. My wife and I are avid bikers and walkers, so you see us walking our two dogs, one's big, one's small. And I'm a frequent visitor of all the Curie Beach businesses.
Good. You don't elaborate. You don't. No.
They're mostly restaurants and bars. And want to opening back up Friday night, Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
That's right.
For the patrons of Jeff Mackerel.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Mark, you have a question?
Yeah. How many years have you been involved with the Planning and Zoning Board?
So I've been coming to the meetings for probably a couple of years.
2 years.
Both here and Carolina Beach. And here, obviously, I've known the chairman. And I knew the previous chairman very well at Carolina Beach and also the new chairman.
So just a quick question. That you've attended a lot of these meetings. But what would you say did you contribute to some of this? Just give me an idea of some of the activities or some of the contributions you've made to the committee.
Well, sitting in the audience, you don't really have much of an opportunity to really contribute. I would say that the thing that, and it's a little bit of difference between the two, but I think one of the strongest things that the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Group does is to help the people coming before it. It would be great if everybody coming before the planning and zoning knew exactly what it was and knew exactly what all the protocol was and how to do it. But frequently, many, if not all, of the people that come before need some guidance in exactly how to go forward. And I think that's probably what our group does the very best. And in terms of variances, it's a tough thing once you go down that road. And from my attendance at the Carolina Beach meetings, I would say that they tend to have more variances. And that in some current situation, that leads to some real issues. Obviously, you start setting precedents, and something that happened 6 years ago that the people on the commission don't even know about or remember, now all of a sudden brings up and it gets into some very sticky areas.
Okay. Thank you.
Byron, you have anything?
No, again, just echoing though, Mr. Hall has definitely been a very consistent attendee, if that question were going to be asked again, at our planning and zoning meetings. And Mark, I mean, the reality being is that being in the audience, there is very little that can be contributed, but I think there is a lot that can be learned, and that's the benefit.
He hit all your questions? I have one final question, Ed. Your time on the HPC has had a couple of quasi-judicial hearings, and is that what you thought it would be? How do you feel about your experience on the HPC up to this point?
Yeah, so obviously before we had our first hearing, there was a training, there was some idea about what it was going to be. So, yeah, it was exactly, and I think we... I think in many cases we follow some of the guidance of CARI, which I think has been a leader in that, and the handbook that was published by a couple of guys here, by Professor Caroline, Professor Owens. I think that's a handbook that's probably used around the state.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Tim?
First and foremost, thank you for having me. I'm not here to replace anybody's job. It's doing a good job. I just want to get involved in Curry Beach. Whatever capacity you need me in. My name is Tim Owens. My wife is Ellen Owens. We live at 340 South Fifth Avenue. Probably been there for 18 years. And I'm a retired city manager, county manager, planning, zoning. I mean, I've done it all for, involved with all these guys and what they do. So I think that I'd add a lot to the committee, but again, I'm not here to replace anybody's position that's doing a good job. I'm just trying to get involved. I didn't realize there were some other committee members or commission members that were reapplying, or I probably would have applied. But if there's a place for me, I'll help. But anyway, again, I've spent my 30.5 years since local government was up. So I retired in 2024 from Rysel Beach. That was in January. I did go back in 2025 and work for about 6 months. I was the public works director, interim public works director, and for a month there, because everybody left, I was actually the planning director too. So. I have looked at your codes. I mean, I see a little couple things that probably could be tweaked. I mean, I think that, and it might be that I looked at it wrong, but looked online. You guys probably need a UDO, Unified Development Ordinance, which pushes everything together. It probably, in my opinion, needs to be like a table of permitted and conditional uses or special uses. It's easy to go to so you know what zone they are and what's allowed and what's not allowed. But everything's sort of broken up in the different zoning districts. Found a couple typos here and there, which I'll talk to Beth about. But anyway, I think I could add a lot to the commission or the board of adjustments, whether it be an alternate position or otherwise. I mean, in full disclosure, I'm sort of looking for other jobs too, so just keep that in mind. If I am chosen to do board of adjustments or planning commission, I would make sure there's a good transition for that, whether I'm an alternate or a full-time member. I have been involved in too many quasi-judicial meetings, and too many board meetings, and I can't even count. And a lot of times you really count on the town attorney to guide you through, particularly the board adjustments type things, because that's really, you know, a stickler. There's everybody talks about the different things, and there's four findings that you need to look at for the SUD, four findings that you need to look at generally. Generally for the quasi-judicial type things and for the board of justice, you know, meetings. The planning, I'm a ASCE certified planner, which that means nothing to nobody, shouldn't mean nothing to anybody. But the planning element has changed a lot, and those codes had to change a lot. You know, the sign ordinance had to change. There was a bunch of legislative changes that came down, and we had to amend our ordinance and make sure we're following the law. And it's gotten a little more developer friendly, which is fine. But the older you get, the more you're used to doing what you do. The changes come about, you're like, you gotta learn stuff again. But anyway, it is what it is. I mean, it's beyond my control, probably your control. I appreciate what you guys do. Pass them back and forth. Whatever I can help, one more committee, planning commission, whatever it might be, I'm available. Okay. I'm retired. So.
Thank you, Tim. Questions, Brian?
So, your 30-plus experience, specific just to Riceville Beach, or?
I was 11 years in Riceville Beach and 6.5 Carolina Beach as manager in both. I was the county manager in Pamlico for 2 years. I was county administrator for Shiloh for 4.5 years. And then prior to that, I was in Kitty Hawk. And I was planning and zoning and CAM and whatever. And I was the assistant manager there too. So I've worked in all coastal communities. So when it comes to floodplain management stuff, CAM stuff, zoning,
I've
probably
forgotten more than I know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So variances, you didn't touch on that. So what's your thoughts on them, especially since the guy just before you said Carolina Beach had a bunch of them, which I know you guys have,
they
right?
They should be very hard to attain.
Mm-hmm.
There's four criteria that you got to meet, whether to injure this and do that and do this and do that. And I read the course and they seem consistent with state law. So generally, they should be pretty hard unless there's something very site-specific or you're trying to say the live oak or whatever it might be. I don't know. I mean, it's just they should be very, you need to meet code first and foremost. Mm-hmm. If you can't, then you apply for variance. And then, again, the variance is there for not the person's good to apply for the variance. It's for the town's good because, you might want development there and they may have a weird slope or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it should be very difficult to get variance.
Okay. And then attendance at either this council meeting or P&Z committee meeting in the last 2 years?
You think? Probably a couple of times. No, probably not in the last 2 years.
Okay.
I mean, I have attended.
I understand. I was just asking, right?
Not the last 2 years.
Okay. Okay. That's all I've got, sir.
Mark, you have a question?
Yeah, quick question. First of all, I want to say I really appreciate all of the candidates, all the applicants. I mean, in a town like this, we're always looking for volunteers, help, to make this town what it is, and keep it where it's at, and keep it moving forward. So I appreciate that, not just for you, but for everybody. But obviously, you've done a lot at the municipal level and bring a lot of knowledge. I'm just really curious what excites you about working with the Curie Beach, this particular opportunity.
Again, I'm trying to find my niche in retirement. And I think, planning and zoning is my niche, period. I heard it pays well.
Okay.
that is my passion.
Yeah.
I mean, I just happen to be a planner that turned into a manager. But, when you're a manager, you're touching that plan. Like you're writing ordinances or reviewing ordinances or, looking at codes or understanding what the law changes are. I'm an ASCE planner. I just kept up with my certification. I enjoy it. I'm passionate about it. We love where we live. It's super. It's low key. you know, it was pretty controversial when the state law was 35 feet, but I think it's worked out well. I mean, it was kind of weird, you know, in my world, but it was, because generally that's a governing body type thing. But I think it's worked out pretty well for everybody.
Okay, thank you.
Connie, any questions?
Well, first, I'd just like to thank you. And I think with all of your experience being a town manager in Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach, you have experience to definitely contribute as a volunteer or on a board or a commission, or there's somewhere that you can fit, because we always need volunteers. So I want to thank you for your interest in participating in the community that way.
My wife volunteers me for the rec committee occasionally, so I don't have that.
Well, I'm sure there's somewhere that you can fit.
And just echoing what Connie says, and I'm sure the remaining applicants will be just as good. Yeah, for those that aren't chosen, yes, we would certainly encourage anybody to take advantage of the other committee opportunities that we have, get more exposure, and then obviously these positions will continue to come open over time.
See, y'all know I haven't done this in a while, so I was a little nervous.
It's all good.
And me either.
And Tim, being a retired municipal employee, sometimes we fail retirement very well. So. Yeah. Any other questions for Tim?
No, sir.
Thank you, Tim. Right, appreciate it.
Thank you.
John Sitnick, am I?
Yes.
Golly, I'm two for two tonight on name.
My name's John. I live with my wife at 403 Alabama on the good side. We moved here 6 years ago. We explored the whole area. We used to take grandkids to Oak Island every year. And what we like about Curry Beach is what we wanted to stay as. I have some experience in zoning, but nowhere near what these guys did. My career started as marketing in Manhattan, and then I've owned a business and contracted for 25 years. In that contracting, because it was a small town in Erie, Pennsylvania, everybody that seems to own a business volunteers for everything. And so I got stuck on the zoning committee, which I worked for 23 years. And we had to do a lot of zoning and convincing of people locally that we weren't trying to take over their land in such a sense. We were trying to keep business here. We weren't trying to do this kind of development here. My job was to prove when the plans came, if somebody was considering a development or something like that, or if we were doing an addition or something at my company. My company was a pretty high-end home remodeling company. We had a couple big showrooms and such, and I did design work, but I did the zoning, no charge, just like here. From where I would know how the zoning worked, and the plan didn't meet certain aspects of it, people had to go back and work with their architect or whatever. But then once I approved, then it went to the township commissioners for their approval, and then it went to the city hall. So I was involved with that for way too many years. I had some people that weren't so happy, but maybe that was just three in all that time when you deny their application for you want to call it. I feel I bring a fresh perspective, but I have nowhere near the qualifications of the people here. I'm working with people in zoning and planning to help put together what we ended up with zoning in my township outside of Erie, PA. But what I see, what we've experienced in the township is that everything is pretty cool here. I don't like some of the stuff going on in Carolina Beach, but I don't live there. I don't see how there could possibly be much more expansion. One of my main focuses, though, I play pickleball and bartending. And we just don't have enough facility, I think, even when the summer comes, between short bike path and the how some of the parks look and such. I just don't think it's up to par with what Curry Beach should be. And I hear that from a lot of people, because when you play pickleball and you ride your bike around and such, and you meet these people from out of town, they go, they talk about what they did up here at Ocean City, you know, what they did over here, and they compare it to Curry Beach, you know, uneven courts and that kind of thing. And I know that I've been to several of the meetings, and particularly the ones when it comes to the entertainment aspect about the community, and working with Wick and some of these people. But I know that the bike path, and I know the issues about that with the people who live here, but I think there needs to be some consideration to that. And that's where my focus would be, but I would work alongside somebody because I don't have that type of experience that these folks, I didn't know these kinds of folks would be here. But I'm excited to do the job, and I'm excited to work as a handy person with the group. I'm not going to chair the group, maybe a couple of years. But so that's where I'm at. We like this community. Our grandkids still visit, our kids visit, our friends come. They have places in Hillhead and such, and they say, oh, this is great. I never knew this was here. We'd like to maintain that. We attend and are very active in our church at Life Point, especially my wife. She'll speak for herself. And we're trying to get more involved with the community. I've retired once we moved, and we just love it here, and we want to preserve that. And that's my game.
Okay. David, you have a question? David, go first.
Yeah, so you talked about doing zoning. So what's the purpose of planning and zoning? What is the purpose of the committee you're applying for, in your words? What's the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Committee, in your words?
I'd like to be able to help with any project that's going on, and that the community would be of interest to the community. And be an advocate of that and add to it. I have an extensive marketing background, 16 years in high-end executive marketing. I have this experience running my own company, multi-million-dollar company, in contracting, and there was a lot involved, and we had to get our plans approved for our contracting, and a lot of things, as you can imagine, when you're doing remodeling, especially. But you asked me a question, and I think I didn't answer.
No, that's okay.
But as far as variances, though, because you're asking anybody about that,
yeah, that's next.
I don't believe too much in variances. I think it has to be really tough. Because if this guy gets a variance and then I try to get it, and then no, it should be decided ahead of time that unless it's for a real benefit for the community, I don't think it should happen.
Okay. And then, how are you familiar with our code at all?
Well, I've looked over it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as complicated as it is.
Okay.
Like in Erie, you made mistakes like where there were high development of retail, and they didn't do when they started it, they didn't do the side roads to that retail. It all came off the main net road. I'm going off track, but.
That's right.
When we were working with the township that I lived in, you're talking about a rural area where people were pretty much, don't touch my land. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were seeing these people start to stack up little cars, buses, and that kind of thing. Well, we had to try to stop that. And it took 2 years to get the zoning through, to get the people in the areas with lots of meetings to understand what we were trying to do, not stop them from how to live there or do farming or whatever. But to stop these little salvage yards from popping up. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a battle. It took 2 years, but we finally got it passed. And then that's why it stuck with me for 23 years after mm-hmm. that. But going on track again.
No, it's okay. It's all good. And then lastly, can you tell me how many either town council meetings or planning and zoning meetings you've been to in the last 2 years for Curie Beach?
Council meetings, three.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were pretty much related once again to the entertainment aspect.
Okay. Okay.
Cool question.
That's all.
Mark, any questions?
I'm good.
You good? Byron?
I'm good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Rhonda Sidney.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Sidney, his better half. I'm an educator. I've worked as a speech pathologist in the schools for 27 years and retired. I'm trying to fill my time with some of the needs in the community. I volunteer at church at Life Point and with children's ministry, and I also have signed up to be the chair for the Cary Beach for the GOP. So as far as attending meetings, I haven't done that yet. I've dabbled a little bit into what I could do here in the community to help out. And when I saw the posting, I was like, we should do something if there's a need for our community. I don't have an experience in zoning and planning, but I am a planner overall, and I know how to follow a plan. And so that's kind of what interested me. And then his background, I know you've done this before. We should get involved if there's a need in our community. So that's kind of why I came out tonight. I'm glad to see we have some very qualified people that are on the board that have extensive backgrounds. So that makes me very happy because we love our community and the small town feel, and we want to appreciate that.
Good. Questions?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So first, again, the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Committee, in your words?
Well, to have a consistency when somebody comes up with something they want to present. We want to be able to have our land use be already regulated for certain areas close to the beach, or to keep our water land safe. We want to not have tall hotels here. We want to have, that smaller business development, support our businesses, but yet still have that small town feel, have single family homes instead of these big, great apartment complexes. We don't want overrun. We don't want to have that feel where Myrtle Beach is. We want to keep that small town community feel. But we want to follow the regulations from the federal government, from the state, and keep our waterways safe and our development consistent with what, the desires are of the community, which is kind of what the vision statement was that put out there, that they want that small town feel, that they want to keep a community who want to stay in and for generations to come. But we still have to plan to look for in the future. And I like what some of the people said, where, technology might be something new or things that we can do in the future. We want to be looking ahead and staying on the edge. So.
Okay. And then your positional variances? Variances?
Rare. like I liked how some people said, when it benefits the community or the township. So those rare things that, there may be a need for a variance in a very limited aspect.
Okay. And then have you looked at the Cary Beach Code at all? Do you have any familiarity with it at all?
Yeah, I did. I looked at the plan, the land use plan. I looked at the vision statement. I looked at, the different agencies that you have to work with. But as far as having any experience with that, I do not.
That's okay.
My heart was just to help out in a need if we had a need.
Oh, that's fine. And then lastly, attendance at council or P&Z committee meetings in the last 2 years?
This is my first.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fine. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
All right. Martin, good. Any questions?
Oh, sorry.
I'm good.
I'm good. Thank
everybody
you.
Good? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
And finally, George Thomas. George, there's advantages being last and advantages being first.
I got all the good answers.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for seeing me tonight. Thank you for seeing all of us. I was very impressed by how many qualified people are living in this town for this job. So, I'm George Thomas. My wife and I, Audra, she lives, we live on 213 South 4th Avenue. We lived in Cary Beach now for almost 6 years. Before that, we were in Charlotte for about 28 years. I'm a lifetime construction superintendent, general superintendent for a large commercial company out of Charlotte. And I retired there about a year and a half ago. So, and currently, I work part-time at the Ace Hardware store up here in Carolina Beach. And, I'm a member of the Isle of Men, and also I work with Heavenly Peace, which is a organization that builds beds for underprivileged kids in New Hanover, Brooklyn County. So.
Mm-hmm. Any question, David?
You know, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Committee, mm-hmm. in your words?
Well, my opinion, it's to maintain the integrity of Curry Beach as it is now and going into the future. Yes, there's going to be some occasional instances where there might be a variance. I think unless that variance helps the entire town, not the individual, it is worth taking a look at. Everybody does have an opportunity to come before this commission and present their variance. But, you know, we have to look at the land use. I've looked at the current land use plan and the future land use plan, which is quite different from each other. And that's a tall order right there, trying to figure out what you're going to do with property in this town and not change the town in the process.
Okay. And then attendance at a, sorry, I was writing. Attendance at a at either town council meeting or P&Z committee meetings in the last
2 years. I've been to 4 council meetings and 2 planning meetings, and went to the 2 plannings just to see what was going on, just to see what, you know, what happened.
Okay. No.
And you're currently on the Board of Adjustments, correct?
I am currently on the Board of Adjustments. Yeah. That's a tough schedule.
How long have you been on that board?
Yeah. A year now.
Have you had any quasi-judicial hearings in that year?
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Thomas is an example of someone that had applied for planning and zoning prior. Another applicant was selected, but then decided to go ahead and still contribute as he has, and got on the Board of Adjustment. So I applaud you for that.
We live in Curry Beach, but I wanted to be a participant. I didn't want to be a resident. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of looked around, saw the town move along, and I felt like, you know, everything I did in my career, that I had something to offer to, you know, help the town out, you know, where I could. So.
Your career was in construction superintendent, so you're familiar then with zoning and variances and all of that?
Yeah, I dealt with Mecklenburg County and Charlotte for 28 years. Zoning, variances, I was mostly involved with high-rise residential towers, retail shopping centers, outlet malls, those kind of things in and around the Charlotte area.
Okay, thank you.
And being new, I would assume that serving on both the Board of Adjustment and this can happen in tandem, or would it?
You're resigned.
No, you have to be on.
You can't be on both.
Okay. If you are on Board of Adjustment, that is the only commission committee you can serve on.
Okay. Thank you.
But he knows that he would have to resign from that. Yeah. We already had that conversation.
Yeah. Good.
It's a lot of heavy lifting there, right?
Yeah. Anything else?
No questions.
Byron, anybody?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Thanks.
So, folks, what we have to do is pick 3 full members and 1 alternate for this.
And we have to do it right in front of you.
Yeah, we have to do it. Right. So this is our discussion, folks. So first I'm going to say this, and Byron alluded to this with George, with Mr. Thomas. He applied for a P&Z position, didn't get it. We encouraged him to apply for Board of Adjustments. And helped out, and he's been a part of us. We encourage you all to do that. We were talking to Beth right before the meeting started, and we have 1 position open of all our committees on Board of Adjustments. It's the only volunteer position that we have open right now. So you can see as you can see by the list of candidates for these positions. We've got people who want to be involved in the community, and we encourage you, if you're not selected tonight, to please get involved, whether it's community center committee. We always need volunteers for events like that, or bike ped, or whatever else, marketing, whatever. We have other things. You can keep your application up to date and keep up with Beth. I think you can apply for all of them at one time, Beth?
You have to fill out a separate form.
Yes, you might require, okay.
Our committee,
My point is, don't get discouraged, because we've got a tough decision tonight. So what I'd like to propose to do, and we've not had a discussion on this, I think if someone has a strong feeling about a candidate, to go ahead and make a motion And we will...
And I do need a separate motion for each.
We need a separate motion for each one, so that's, I'll just start it off that way.
Can we discuss before we do this?
Can we discuss it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, whatever. So one, it's great to have so many people interested, because I always am worried about that, right? So I've been up here a long time, and we've went through cycles where people didn't really want to participate, and it seems we're in a cycle where they are, which is really good. Although you guys ended up running out of posts, so I don't like that. But regardless, from my perspective, I think there's going to be a couple of openings, potentially according to what we do, right? And so, I mean, the reason I ask four specific questions is because I think it's the job of council to make sure that the people going on our committees are aware of what they're getting into, and they have at least some background so they're not starting from scratch. And so those four questions were the ones I've been asking since I got on in 2000 to P&Z members. So for those of you that think I just wandered in, nope, those questions Mr. Grillgraith got the first time he went in, and everybody else has answered about the variances the entire time. And that actually didn't come from me. It came from our previous town attorney, Andy Canutis, and my grandfather. And so, Bethany, how many variances do we have in town? In the history of the town?
In history, like one hand.
Yeah, I think we have four, just so you know. So, the town, for those of you that answered that we do it for the good of the town, not for the people, it has done us in good stead that P&Zs in the history of the town have changed the code versus letting a variance stand. So that's not to say that someone didn't come up with something cool, because they have in the history of the town, but then P&Z did the work and made that part of the code so every other citizen could do the same thing, instead of what happens in a lot of communities where people go and point out, well, this guy got to do it 10 years ago and I want to do it now, and then they can't enforce their code because they're worried their attorney will tell them they're in a bad place. So that's it. The same thing about variances is about attendance to either council or committee meetings, right? So, and no diss to anyone that hasn't been coming. So one meeting, welcome to the first time. But from my perspective, I think that it is important that people come and see what's going on before they get on a committee, right? And so I weigh heavily that in general, right? And so both of our commissioners, all three of our commissioners, and our mayor were on committees for multiple years before they got on council, right? I can't say that happened to me, but I came into town with some different views of the world, right? So I got back from the Navy when I got on. So if you look at it from that perspective, that's how I scored, and I'll just let council know how, and then if anyone doesn't like it, I can explain it to you, but I wrote notes so that I can explain it, right? So from my perspective, the strongest candidates, and then I think we should talk about it, and you guys can say you're wrong or whatever, I don't care, but Mr. Barlock, Mr. Gilbraith, and Mr. Hall are the three strongest candidates, and is who I would make a motion after we discuss. And then Mr. Thomas, with Board of Adjustments, would be as an alternative, and then that opens two potential opportunities for those of you that are interested, right? So if the council was to do that, an HPC opening would come up. Am I right, Beth?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And a Board of Adjustments opening would come up.
That would be two.
Two Board of Adjustments openings, right? So can't get all eight or nine of you in, but we can get a lot of you into positions if you're interested, right? So that's my take. I'll let council talk, and I'll shut up and drink some water
before I call.
Do you want me to go next?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
All right. I also looked at it the same way, you know, who goes to the P&Z meetings, who comes to the council meetings, who shows a lot of interest in you know, basically what the P&Z does. And I also felt that Joe Benson, Craig Galbraith,
Mr. Benson.
Barlock. Joe Barlock. Why did I put Joe Benson?
Joe Benson.
Can we put Joe Benson in?
No.
Joe Barlock, Craig, Ed Hall, is as the members, and I had as the alternate, I had George and I had Tim. You could probably convince me either way, yeah, because I thought both of them were highly qualified. For me, I could flip a flip a coin, mm-hmm. but I thought they were both very strong. So you can try to convince me who the alternate should be.
Yeah, and again, I would concur with what's been stated thus far, and I certainly don't want to come across just because folks have been in it forever or for a long period of time that they should always stay in it, right? I mean, the reality being is that Vice Chair Barlock has done an incredible job, you know, from a planning and zoning standpoint. Member Galbraith, his experience, you know, 20 plus years, we constantly count on that. You know, I say we, thinking myself is still a part of planning and zoning, which I'm not, but the reality being is that I just know in those meetings that perspective was invaluable. And then having Ed be so involved and the impression that he's already given us from his involvement with historic preservation, you know, he's clearly somebody that jumps right in and, you know, wants to be a contributor. And then, you know, as Connie said, I mean, I think it really is a good toss-up between George and Tim. Tim's experience is very impressive, but George, at the same time, has already proven himself to be one that definitely wants to be involved. And again, I'm always appreciative of somebody that took the advice of not getting chosen, but yet, you know, become involved only to get that other opportunity. So, yeah, I would... Again, toss up, but I would go with George as the alternate.
Martin,
I feel like I'm echoing you guys.
That's fine.
But I spent a lot of time reading through the applications and was looking forward to hearing what you guys had to say today, what the applicants had to say today. I'm still very impressed with the fact that we have 8 candidates. Mm. You know, that says a lot about this town and the people that want to help this town get better. My take on it was there's 2 that are already on the committee or on the board commission and expressed interest in continuing, and that's important. You know, you want to continue doing the job you've been working on. That's important. Then I was looking for people who could bring more value, bring input, bring experience to it. And clearly to me, Ed's been listening to a lot of these, been at a lot of, and he's been at other town mm-hmm. meetings. So he brings a lot of knowledge to that. And I really believe he should be in, because I want to see that experience or that knowledge take action on the committee. Then it's a toss-up. Like, I'm the same way with Tim and George. I think both of them bring experience that would help the committee. I keep saying committee because I'm used to the marketing committee, but help the commission. I lean towards George because and I know this sounds crazy, but, you know, one of the reasons I asked Tim, you know, if he was excited about it, he's been doing it a long time. Where is he? He's been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a sense of excitement that I look for. You know, somebody, you know, what's motivating me to do this? There's no question he could provide value to the town with all the knowledge he has, but at this point, I'm with Joe, Craig, Ed, and George.
Okay. All right. From my perspective, I think people who, like George, who got involved and took our advice and got involved with a board of adjustments after he wasn't selected for P&Z, and we use the same criteria when other people were selected, whether they were on the land use committee or they were on other things. That was the criteria we used. Is we can't say enough of about what Joe and Craig have done for our community and for our commission, and they want to continue to serve, and I think that's the correct thing to do. Ed Hall has immersed himself to attend meetings and learn and get to know the town and ask questions, which is invaluable. So we encourage you to come to the meetings. Well, we're not going to expect you to be here all the time, but we need more engagement in our community at our meetings like this. When we have our budget hearing, there'll be our committee. I think the last time we had our budget hearing, we had the finance officer who had to be here. We had Byron and Mark who run for council or thought they might run for council, and they were committee chairman. And that's all we had here for our budget hearing. And Debbie. So we have, we want that enthusiasm. We want more people to serve. Tim's experience is hard to beat, but he did put on here that he was open to Board of Adjustments on here in his resume. So I think that's a good thing to go. So that being said, I think we've all are getting the right way. I think Beth said she'd like to have a motion for each person, and we need to state whether it's a full member or if it's the alternate member for P&Z.
So I'd like to make a motion for Joe Barlock to be a full member of Planning and Zoning.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
I'd like to make a motion for Craig Galbraith to be appointed as a full member, Planning and Zoning.
Second.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second for Craig Galbraith. All in favor say aye.
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 I'd like to make a motion for Ed Hall to also be appointed as a full member for Planning and Zoning.
I'll make a second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Make a motion for George Thomas to be the alternate to Planning and Zoning.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's our four. That's our three full and our one alternate member. We do have a next item on the agenda. We do have a Historic Preservation Commission member, a full member for HPC. And we will pick that from one of the four of these, or from one of these applicants. Can we ask?
You can talk amongst yourself and ask the applicant if they're willing to serve the HPC.
Yes, so I guess that's the first question, right? They may not want to be on that committee.
The six full members automatically serve. And then we have one other additional member that comes in and serves as a seventh member.
Yeah, so there is no alternate, in other words.
There is
right.
No
the
alternate
for Planning and Zoning is full-time.
So it's a full member serving and voting.
So Tom, Tim, John, and Rhonda, are y'all willing to serve on Historic Preservation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
They meet at 6:30, so right after P&Z.
Yeah, it's right same day, right after P&Z.
And then there'll be two Board of Adjustments, but we won't do that tonight? Is that
we won't do that tonight.
So we have to advertise that and do that in the next meeting?
Yeah, we'll do that in February.
So, but there's two now, right? Correct.
Yeah.
So knowing that, is there anyone that prefers to wait for Board of Adjustments? Or, so Tim does. So who's still?
Who's left?
Left.
There you go. Rhonda, John, and
Tom. Rhonda, John,
Tom, right? Rhonda, and John.
Okay.
What's involved in that?
Yeah, there you go. So let's talk about what it is, probably. You might be the best person.
We're only selecting one.
Correct.
Only one. Yeah.
So you want to say what it is?
You want to talk a little bit about HPC and what?
Yeah. And there definitely is some misunderstanding, perhaps from a broader community standpoint, about what HPC is all about. There are those that think of it as preserving the small town charm of our town. And although that's not necessarily incorrect, the reality being is that the HPC really just, the district itself encompasses basically two square blocks, right? You know, so basically, Pier, north, south, east, west, that's it. And what's challenging from a HPC standpoint is the fact that if you look at, for example, in Wilmington, where they take it very seriously and it's a much larger district, it's very common to see very rigid standards from an appearance standpoint in those neighborhoods. If you look at our little two square block area, we're kind of all over the place, you know, from an appearance standpoint. So we have to be very mindful of that, and we're not dealing with at all what those businesses do. It's really from an appearance standpoint only. That's it. So just kind of going into it with your eyes wide open, It's that little two-block area, two-square block area that we're talking about.
Mayor, may I add something to that?
Yes, sir.
Please.
HPC does have authority or uses the regulations in the code for the historic preservation downtown overlay district, and I think Byron did a good job of introducing that. But its main purpose after those regulations have been established is in hearing and deciding on applications for a certificate of appropriateness. You need a certificate of appropriateness for any change that you make to any exterior feature of any structure within that district. The reason I mention all of this is that a hearing on a certificate, a COA is what I call it, a hearing on a COA is vastly different than a public hearing, which most of you are probably familiar with. A COA hearing is a quasi-judicial hearing where you sit along with the other members of that commission as literally a judge making decisions on the application based on the evidence. And you have to go where the evidence takes you. It's not a discretionary matter. If somebody comes in for a COA and presents evidence that is of a lesser weight than somebody opposing that proposal, who comes in with armed to the teeth with experts and lawyers, not so much that they believe because of those, because of the lawyer, but because of the evidence they knew they had to produce. It's, for lay people, it can be a challenge to understand how quasi-judicial proceeding plays out and what's required. So that's the main order of business these days since the regulation has been in place. So please keep that in mind if you express an interest in the position.
One thing that does differentiate it a little bit from planning and zoning, most of the time from a planning and zoning standpoint, what we're doing basically is kind of filtering things and then making recommendation to council. HPC actually acts completely independent. So those decisions don't go to council. Those decisions are made specifically within that commission.
So we have two, Beth, correct?
No, only one.
Just one.
Your members are currently Tony, Brittany, Joe, Craig, Ed, and George.
Okay, so George stays on. Mm-hmm.
George is now a member of okay. HPC.
So is this for an alternate on the HPC?
No, full member.
Oh, full member, okay.
Yeah, they have seven full members. They don't have any alternates.
So the Tim's already said he was interested in Board of Adjustment.
Yeah.
Any preference, folks? You don't have to do anything, but yeah.
not in the HPC.
Beg pardon, I'm sorry.
I said I'm not interested in HPC.
Okay,
so
okay.
If there's other things that come up that you need help with, I'd be
okay.
glad to serve.
Okay.
Is Tom still interested?
Okay.
Tom, you said
Tom, either one?
Tom, are you?
I'm interested in helping and would be willing to serve on HPC or Board of Adjustments. I mean,
okay. All right.
Can we make a motion?
All right, so we need a vote.
Do you have a preference, Tom?
I do not have a preference, sir.
So we need a motion for the HPC position.
I'd like to make a motion that we, is it appoint Tom mm-hmm. Corcoran to the HPC?
Okay.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, now. If y'all are still interested, we'll do Board of Adjustments next month. Beth, correct? Beth, we'll advertise it.
Yes.
And we'll have those two positions. And so we got two positions. So, okay. So, wow. It worked out nice. So, any other questions? Beth, you get everything you needed?
Got everything I
needed. Great. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
I was really impressed with the people who come here. As an outsider, been here 6 years, this is very impressive. So I feel very comfortable with all this. Thank you.
And the conversation we've had tonight, it makes our job a little bit harder, but we've got quality people, and we really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So next item on the agenda is Shoreline Access and Beach Protection.
No update.
No update. And Stormwater Committee?
I'd like to introduce our new chairman of the Stormwater Committee, Bob Gould.
Who? Oh.
And he got drafted, by the way, so yeah, tell him thank you after the meeting.
Could you introduce yourself, who you are and where
yeah,
you live?
Absolutely. My name is Bob Gould. My wife and I have owned the house here since 2010. We're in the Curry Beach Village.
Okay.
We moved here permanently 2 years ago, and I've spent 6 years on the Curry Beach Village board, and 2 years of that is president, 3 as treasurer. I've been on the Stormwater Committee now for 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Vice chair of that committee over the last year.
Okay, good.
My background is in engineering. I had a 35-year career in development, product management, business development, software development, that kind of thing.
Well, thank you. Welcome as the chair.
Yeah,
well.
Can I interrupt for just a second? I can't get rid of that. So okay. I can cut your mics off.
Cut them off. Yeah, that's fine.
You can cut them off.
That's fine. We'll speak up.
They can hear us.
We just need you to talk.
Okay.
Yeah, Arlen will give us the thumbs up if we need to talk louder. Thank you.
You have a committee report tonight, Bob.
Very, very short.
Okay.
The first thing I want to do is acknowledge and thank Tracy Mitchell for being leading our committee for the last couple of years. Secondly, right now our focus is on comparing the recent stormwater plan that was approved by the town, and or the state actually,
yep.
And comparing that to the ordinances and making recommendations to the council in terms of changes to those ordinances.
Okay.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Please make sure those draft proposals go through legal.
Absolutely.
Before they're passed on the council.
Mr. Hagler has already asked us to make sure that happens.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hagler.
You certainly. We'll leave the attorney out.
And I think right now the plan is for us to get those recommendations to council by July.
Okay, so Jim, the goal is to have them to you by April.
That's good.
Okay, anything else?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Unless there's questions.
All right. For the folks here, Stormwater Committee was formed because the state changed some of the stormwater rules. So our committee is basically made up of the HOAs that have stormwater ponds, and is to make sure that their permits are, they take care of, make sure all everybody permits up to date. And a lot of this stuff. So it's not where you won't see a bunch of interviews and stuff. Those HOAs appoint people to the committee, and it's a thankless job, especially after a flood, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. Now on to department head business. I don't guess I skipped anybody tonight. Administration, anything, Mandy?
I don't have any updates tonight.
Development and compliance, anything? Finance Department, Arlen, anything?
No updates.
Fire Department, Chief?
Just a couple things. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I just have a couple of things. First off, I think the New Year's Eve event went very well, so kudos to Sean and Nikki for putting on that event. From a staff perspective, it was probably one of the smoothest run events that we've had. So I think, like I said, they did a great job on that. I'm not just the fire chief, but I'm also a resident and a father of a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old, so the events that they put on they're wonderful. So yeah, I think they do a great job. Secondly, we are currently in the burn season for Sunny Point. I know I've sent an email out to the citizens. I don't have any updates at this time. The burn season is from January 1st to March 31st.
Yeah.
So as soon as I get updates, I'll make sure to send an email out through that.
Yeah. And just for a follow-up, we might not get that notification until 24 hours before they're going to do the burn. So it's about the weather conditions and everything. And but they do a good job of getting information out to us.
Yes, sir. We'll try to be as transparent as we can. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief. And Police, Chief Bailey. Commissioner, if you didn't see Chief Bailey's new report and citizens, his format, It shows us a lot of information, and thank you, sir, for that. It's a lot easier to decipher and read. Public Works, Jimmy?
I just have one update this afternoon. The outfall project is coming along really well. So it's like they're going to wrap it up in about the next 2 weeks. They'll be actually starting the last outfall probably this week, which is F Avenue. I think it's really, really smooth. It was really well planned out and really well executed. So I'll be out this week and measuring up the square footage for the sea oats, and we'll take it from there with the engineers.
Okay. So, thank you, sir.
All right. I can't say if they're ahead of schedule.
They're on schedule. I don't know if they have any leftover or not. So like I said, everything went a lot smoother than I thought it would. So it goes pretty well between that house where he had a tight fit.
Yes, sir, it did. And like I said, I have a ton of pictures. I just don't have them tonight, but I'll have a collage of them.
Maybe we can upload some of them to our emails and put them on the website. Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Recreation, Nikki?
Now we just need the temperatures to cooperate. So as soon as we get, we can't let the temperature drop below 40 for the poured in place rubber flooring to cure properly. So once we get that window, we will start work on that again.
When is the polar plunge?
The 20th and 21st of February.
They still have spots available, Jim.
No, thank you.
So if hopefully the cold snap will break.
I hope
soon,
so.
Although the 10-day forecast is not optimistic.
Good.
But you know, if we get to that event and we just have to kind of tighten the barricades around the playground, we can work around it. So.
I think the company's done a good job making the work site safe, and they stopped me when I wandered through there the other day. So.
Did they take down and remove the old equipment?
They did. Thank you.
So. Any other questions, Nikki? Thank you, Nikki.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. Is there any way to communicate the value to the citizens of those outfalls, those 13? And we put in 13 outfalls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I think it's a huge accomplishment what's happened to get those in. And I don't know the right way to explain it or to share it with the citizens. But I think it's a major accomplishment for this town to have gotten all of those in, and in a timely manner they did. So it's just a thought. We'll okay. talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at our retreat on Friday.
How about
that?
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that.
All right, great.
That's good.
All right, under old business, the Beach Renourishment Army Corps of Engineers project, and Commissioner Ashbridge.
Yeah, and I know enough to be dangerous on this topic at this point, but, you know, the mayor and I have, through work with the Port Waterway and Beach Commission, as well as meetings with the Army Corps of Engineers, which coincidentally one has gotten scheduled for tomorrow, you know, we feel like we've got a pretty good handle on how things are going. We'll learn more, but what I would encourage everybody to do, because mine is going to be a very, very high level overview tonight, there's going to be a meeting at the Carolina Beach Town Council Chambers February 3rd at 4 p.m. It's a joint meeting, Carolina Beach and Curie Beach, so there won't be a separate one for us. But I would just encourage all of our citizens to be there if you've got any interest in this topic at all. There's just a lot of moving pieces. But just as a quick overview, and certainly, Mayor, please add, But just to kind of take you through how the project has evolved, what I've learned is that the county actually does new surveys every year. So despite the fact that we're on a three-year cycle for renourishment, there are actually surveys done every year. And with the way that it got delayed last year and then wanting to bid as early as possible this year, we were they used a year-old survey. And so at that point, we were anticipated to need about 757,000 cubic yards of sand. The first step in the project, once awarded, was to have to do a new survey. And that survey indicated that there was more sand needed. And there's a little bit of uncertainty around how these numbers evolved, but rough and tough, we're getting about 15% more sand than what the old survey would have indicated we needed. So now we're getting about 870,000 cubic yards of sand. And I've got tons of charts if anybody wants to see them. The Army Corps of Engineers will go through this ad nauseum at the February 3rd meeting. But rest assured, they feel very comfortable that we're going to get an adequate amount of sand in order to meet our needs. And I think many of us visually, when we think about renourishment, we're thinking about the width of the beach. Their focus primarily really is around two things. One, to ensure that the dune is strong, and then, as importantly, if not more, that what they call the construction zone is strong. And that construction zone is really the difference between high tide and low tide. So it's not really what we think of as our usable beach, but it's that buffer so that when there are northeast winds and extensive wave activity, that there is adequate sand there to be able to offset the impact of that. And we'll lose sand periodically as that occurs, but again, the idea being is that it gets us through the three-year cycle and then it's done all over again. So, like I said, we're gonna get about 15% more sand than what had originally been intended. There was a survey when the survey was done, it did indicate that there theoretically should have even been more sand than that. But within the contract that was signed with the dredging company, there was like a plus or minus 15% variance. So that's all that the dredging company can accommodate in order, from an increased standpoint. So that's kind of how that 15% was derived. But like I said, there's a lot of confidence on the part of the Army Corps of Engineers to ensure that that's going to be adequate to give us all the protection that we need. However, that is going to result in a small amount of our beach not getting sand. And it's an area just south of H. And through the mayor's efforts, we've actually been able to encourage a little bit more sand right around H. That's where the big washout had occurred. With the September year ago storm. But there will be a few blocks. Now, if you were in Carolina Beach's shoes, there would be a little bit different discussion because there's going to be a much more sizable amount of their beach that's not going to get sand. But again, in the case of Cura Beach, it's rather small. And then Mandy, could you go to the next slide? And this one I was afraid was going to be very hard for anybody to see. So I'll kind of recite some numbers, but if you think about our beach really kind of in three different sections, north, mid, and south, that middle section in the past has typically been the area where we did not get sand.
And what is that from? Historically. What avenue to what avenue, do you know?
Again, H-ish, south, for a few
to Davis.
Yeah, road. David
to Davis. Is that where it is?
H to Davis, yeah.
H to Davis, okay.
So, again, where they're going to focus most of their attention is down south, which, clearly we all know from clear evidence, there's a lot of need down there. But there's also this concept that I know gets talked about a lot where after renourishment, what happens with the sand? And, the belief that sand shifts north-south. So there was a study done, and this was really based upon the 2016 nourishment project. And again, I wish everybody could see those numbers, but I'll go ahead and just talk to them. But like, for example, down at that very south section, there were 283,000 cubic yards of sand placed. A year later, 237,000 of that sand was gone. And then another year later, 105. So again, loses a lot of sand, right? Up at the north end, not as bad, but you know, 135,000 rough put in, 40,000 gone the first year, 18,000 the next. But that middle section, there was only 51,000 yards put into that middle section. A year later, 6,000 cubic yards was added. So they didn't lose sand, they actually increased sand. And then 2 years later, another 2,000. So again, it gave evidence of the fact is that, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have the sand placed and thinking you either got sand or you didn't, but the reality is over time, it does shift, and that central area that this time is going to be the area that's not going to get sand actually will still get significant benefit from the project as over the next year or two, sand begins to shift. The last point, and certainly I can take questions from the council, but we were led to believe, I think, early on at some of the hearings that the project would continue around early February. And by the way, you know, that was one of the things I think that was misunderstood, this pause that has sometimes out there on social media and so forth been positioned as a big concern. That was a planned pause, basically just taking, you know, one piece of equipment, shifting that now to another area completely, bringing in a much larger dredge to be able to finish the project. But we were led to believe that that likely would start early February, and the latest now, if you look at the tracker, is that will be late February. Mm-hmm. So they're still on track, you know, to get it completed by April 30th. And again, you know, the mayor and I will likely learn more tomorrow as they provide more detail. And I think tomorrow is likely a prep meeting for next week to make sure that they know all the questions that they're theoretically going to get. And ensure that we've got good answers to all those questions.
Just a couple other items. The meeting next week will be live streamed on the Carolina Beaches YouTube channel, and I think Beth's going to put that on our website, that link to do that. So you, if you can't attend or don't want to fight the crowd, that's one thing. And then the other thing, if people don't remember always, we remember the projects, most recent projects from time to time. So I think this is the fourth project that I've been through since I've been on council. And we've had years that they stopped just north of the pier and there was no sand placed to E Avenue. And there have been years where they came all the way through the pier area and stopped just past there and didn't pick back up to further south. So as far as getting sand all the way from Alabama to Ocean Dunes, that's only happened one time in the four that I've seen. So it's not uncommon to have sections that don't get sand. Our section is not that large, to be honest with you. And one final thing, since this year's project was a year behind, it was skipped a year, they got the bids out real early this year. That doesn't normally happen. So we normally have the benefit of that annual survey that the county does, but because the bids went out so early this year, that survey wasn't complete, so they didn't have the advantage of using that survey. That's why the differentiate in the survey. But one of the requirements of the contract is that contractor has to do a pre-event survey. That way they know how much sand we're paying for. That's very important to them. So Byron's done a very good job of explaining this. It's not always a finite or a definite time, things can change. You know, we saw the last project, two or three major storms, COVID hit the whole dredge. Other things that stopped the process. So, and one final thing I'll say is that they plan on getting all the sand out of the Carolina Beach borrow site and not have to go offshore as where we normally get our sand. But they have enough sand in that inlet site to, and that increases the amount of sand they can put on the beach quicker. So we should see the project go very fast from our standpoint. So any questions from council?
No question, but just if you go to the town's website and go under Our Town to Beach Nourishment, you can look at the Corps of Engineers interactive sand tracker that shows what they've done and what they're doing. So, and please put that in the notes as well, that's the link. But you can actually go out there and see where they stopped, where they plan to go, and it shows the gaps and everything. It also shows their current schedule. So they're supposed to start back in mid to late February per this, what they have online.
Okay. So any other questions, comments?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. We have no new business tonight. As far as mayor updates go, you notice tonight I did the invocation, guys.
Yes.
So next month, whoever would like to step up and take that task would be
a great job.
Would be I would be more than welcome for anybody to step forward. We have been lucky to have Commissioner Ellen to do that for us the last 4 years. But if anybody would like to do it, or if you would like to get somebody from the community to come in and do it, it's fine. We felt like we were asking a lot of our local pastors to always come and do this. So we'll talk more. You'll see an email from me before next month's meeting. Coffee with the mayor this Saturday, weather permitting. We're going to say yes unless there's some type of big freeze on or the parking lot's frozen over. But coffee with the mayor from 9 to 11. Parking passes go on sale February 1st. I saw our notification went out today, but that's the $50 lowest rate they're ever going to be for a week. So, finally, we have our annual planning retreat this Friday beginning at 9 a.m. in here for the upcoming year where department heads talk to us and we talk about plans and look at financial stuff for the future. So that's, and we should be here most of the day on Friday. So those things, a busy week coming up this week. So that's all I have. Commissioner items, Mark, you have anything?
Yep.
We talked enough tonight. Yep. David, anything?
So great job by the staff. Fortunately, the ice didn't really come here. But last week, staff was very busy getting ready in case we did have a big ice storm. If you look in your neighborhood, you saw generators sitting around. Both police and fire had staff plans if bad stuff happened. So fortunately, we missed that. It stayed inland of us, which is good. If it would have been coming here, you would have sent more communications from the town. But even when we don't communicate about stuff like that, staff does take a lot of actions to be ready for you guys so that if we do have large power outages or other issues, we're standing by. So great job. Appreciate all the staff extra work last Thursday, Friday from everyone. And glad nothing happened. Hopefully we'll stay out of it. That's all I have.
Connie, anything?
So I went to the kickoff meeting for the Pleasure Isle Chamber of Commerce. I'm the new liaison for that. And they're going to have three main events this year, same as last year. They're going to have the Music Fest in June, but they're going to do something different. They always had it on Saturday and Sunday. They found that people don't show up on Sunday. So instead, they're going to do one in June and one, I think, around October 3rd. And then they're going to do Pets in the Park, and they're going to do the Kite Festival again. And the drone show on that Friday night was well attended, so they're going to be doing that again. The other thing that they mentioned is they're going to have at Town Hall, it's on this Wednesday at 9 a.m., there's a roundtable discussion, and it's the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce Foundation, which is new. And they're going to talk about their foundation, how you can get money awarded, because they're going to award micro grants. I don't know whether you saw, like in the last week or so, they received a $25,000 grant from the Duke Energy Foundation. And of course, now they have to give away that $25,000, and they have a very finite, I think, period of time that they have to give it away. So if you are an entrepreneur, you have a business or a nonprofit, you might want to go to that roundtable. It's going to be at 9 a.m. and at 6 p.m. They're going to do two of them this Wednesday, and it'll be in the Carolina Beach Town Hall. So if you know anyone that has a small business or a nonprofit and they're interested in trying to get a grant from the foundation, you might want to go and listen to that. Oh, and the other thing is, if you need taxes done, they're going to be doing the volunteer tax assistant at the Baptist Church, and I think it starts in February 1st, and they're going to go through April 15th. So if you know anyone that can't afford to have their taxes done by, you know, accountant, they can go there and get their taxes done for free.
It starts March 15th.
March 15th.
Oh, they're not going to start until March 15th? I thought they told me they were going to start February 1st.
March 15th through April 15th.
Oh.
Okay.
The woman from the program told me something different.
So, and that's a program, again, that the Baptist Church has picked up.
Right.
Because we didn't have space for it, and we appreciate what they've done for us. Byron, anything else?
Just, the mayor brought up the retreat on Friday. Just to clarify, that's a public event.
Oh, yeah.
So it's interaction between council and staff, but it's meant for everybody to attend. And in the past, I've found it to be very valuable, so for what's worth.
Any other business to before? I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. How'd we do, Bill?